We're holding Pehei Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. Going through the lists we had at the beginning of the Perek of the people who are Chayiv Chenek, one of them was a person who kidnaps. So now our Mishnah and the Gemara is going to deal with the details of that din. Now we have to, we should realize for this, there's two places in the Torah where it talks about this issue of kidnapping. One of them, well, to be exact, actually, where it talks about the punishment for it, the issue itself, we'll learn in the Gemara later on where we get that from. Anyway, one is in Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, the goinev ish mechore, a person who steals an ish and sells him. We'll see in the Gemara why it says ish. The nymphs of yada, and he's found in his possession. Most yumas, then that kidnapper is put to death. Then you have in Parshas Kisetze, ki motze ish, when a person is found, goinev nefesh me'echov mibnei Yisrael, kidnapping a soul from among his brothers, mibnei Yisrael, from the Jewish people, v'is amer boy, and he uses him for work. The word v'is amer, or imur, as the Gemara is going to use, the noun of it means work. You have at the beginning of Parshas Kisetze, also by Ifas Toyo, Losis Amer Bo, same thing. Rashi points out over there, brings from a Moshe Darshan, that the Shodash Omar, Ayin Memresh, is a Persian word that means work. Anyway, so Vis Amer Bo, so he has the person work for him, do work for him, or Mechore, and he sells him, or Mesa Ganavahu, then that kidnapper should die, or Vyarta Adami Kirbecha, and you should get rid of evil from among your midst. So now, as we go through the Gemara, we'll Darshan both Psukim and explain what each phrase in them means. So the Mishnah says, "Hagoyin of nefesh miYisrael, a person kidnaps a yid, ain't chayev ad shiachnisenu l'rishusai. He's chayev only if he brings the kidnapped person into his rishus, because Rashi points out that since the pasuk says the nymphs of biyada, he's found in his hand. The word biyada in his hand means in his possession." So therefore it has to be for the kidnapper to be chayev, he has to have put the other person in his possession, in his rishus. Tosfos discusses the interesting point. What about, for example, if he does hagbah on it, if he does hagbah on him, rather, usually, as we learned in Bava Basra, hagbah is usually a valid kinyan, even in the rishus of the other person. So maybe he would indeed be chayev for that. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not, maybe as we're going to see in the Gemara, that if he's still in Rishus Bailam, if he's still in the Rishus of the original person, then he's Potter. So maybe in that case, then here, Hagbah wouldn't work for that purpose, and he wouldn't, in fact, be Chayev if he had been koneh him with Hagbah. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiach Nisena V'Rishusay, V'Yishtamish V'Yi. Rabbi Yehuda says, not enough such that he brings him into his Rishus, it also has to be that he uses him for work or for service. Shanema, because the Pasuk says, Shanema, V'Yis Amr Boyu Mechore, because the Pasuk says that he used him for work and he sold him. So therefore, so it would have to be that he did both. So we'll see in the Gemara what the point of their argument is. Hagoynevus b'noi, what about, the Mishnah continues, a person kidnaps his own son. Rabbi Shmuel b'noi Rabbi Yechanan ben Breka machayev. So Rabbi Shmuel b'noi Rabbi Yechanan ben Breka would say he's chayev, because after all, that's kidnapping. V'chom potrin, v'chom says potter, for reasons that we'll learn in the Gemara. Another case, Gonav Mishachetzi Evid Vachetzi Ben Chorin. What happens if he kidnaps somebody who's half slave and half free? Which you have the classic example of how that could happen is an Evid was owned by two partners and one of them freed him. So, Rabbi Yehuda Machayev, Vacham Potter, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's Chayev, Vacham say he's Potter, again for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara asks, now, so you're saying, so the Tanakhama had said just the fact that he takes him into his own Rishus is enough to be Mechayev in Misa, and Rabbi Huda says he actually has to use him for service, for work as well, because it says, V'samer boy, the Tanakhama, like boy imur, are you telling me the Tanakhama does not require that he makes him do work? The Pasuk clearly says, V'samer boy. The answer is, Amar of Acha Brei Derava, the argument between them is, if he had him do work for him, that is worth less than a pruta. So the Tanakhama doesn't mention that he has to make him work, not to say he doesn't have to make him work at all, but even if he makes him worth less than a shava pruta, then and then he'd still be chayiv. Everybody agrees, by the way, that he does have to also sell him in order to be chayiv, because the pasuk says mocharei. So it has to be that he sells him to somebody else. But the Tanakhama is saying that as far as the work, it can be even less than a shava pruta, and nevertheless, that's still considered that he's chayiv misa, and therefore the Tanakhama didn't bother mentioning it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be at least a shava pruta. So the Kosa Yeshuas points out where Rabbi Yehuda gets that from, since the Pasuk mentions them together. He's Amar Boy Umachorei, he makes him work and he sells him. Now the selling is usually in Halacha, we have less than a Shavah Pruta, is not considered Mamon. So therefore, when he sells him, would mean that he's selling him for at least a Pruta. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda figures by the same token, then it would mean that when it comes to having him work, when it comes to Imur, also has to be a Shavah Pruta. So the Yehuda mentions that point. The Chachamim don't mention it because they hold that even less than a pruta, he'd be chayav misa. So the Gemara says, Boy Rav Yumiya. So Rav Yumiya asks the question, Gonva Yomachra Yoshein Mahu. What would happen if he kidnapped the person while he was sleeping and sold him while he's still sleeping? Which the Gemara will clarify what the question is, because where did he have him work for him? And again, even according to the Tanakhama, you do need work. It just can be less than a shavah pruta. Also, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, "Mocher isha l'ubra mahu?" What would be the din if he kidnapped a pregnant woman and sold only the babies that she's carrying, only the baby that she's carrying, to somebody else? Meaning, basically, the deal is that she herself is not going to be used as a slave, as a maidservant, but her children will, that when she bears them, will belong to the new owner. So the question is, Mahu, what's the din in these cases? Yesh derech imur b'kach, are such things considered a way of working, and then using them? Are yesh derech imur b'kach, or was there no working, was there no service done over there, and therefore he'd be potter? And also, what kind of question is that? The typical age of imur klal. In both those cases, there's no work at all. The person is sleeping, he didn't do any work for the kidnapper. The pregnant woman, the babies inside her womb, which are the ones that he sold now, are not doing any work for the kidnapper. And the answer is Lo Tzricha, yes, but the case that we need to ask, where Rav Yumi is asking this question, is in the case of Yoshin, in the case of the sleeping person, Dizoga Ale. Suppose that he rested, he leaned on him. So the person is lying there sleeping, and this person, the kidnapper, went and leaned on him or lay on him and therefore used him. Not necessarily to, according to Rav Yehuda, you'd have to say, again, it would have to be at least to the value of a pruta, according to the Chachamim, that's not necessary. But in any case, so he did get some kind of service out of him, even though he was sleeping. As far as Isha, as far as a pregnant woman, the situation would be, de'oikme ba'ape zika. He put her in front of him as a windbreak. You want to have, sometimes it's windy, you want to have somebody stand in front of you to help protect you from the wind. A pregnant woman has a larger stomach. And where does that larger stomach come from? From the baby that she's carrying. So therefore, in effect, he's having the baby serve him by being a windbreak for him. So now, Rav Yumiya's question is, derech imur b'kach, are such things considered imur, and therefore he could be chayav misa once he sells the victim? Or ein derech imur b'kach, or is such a thing not considered work, because he didn't actually use them, it's more like a side kind of thing that he did. So the Gemara says, Mai, what's the din? And the answer is teku. So the result of that is that we can't be mechayav the person misa in those cases because of the suffix. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, let's work out these details of who's Chayav Misa for and under what circumstances for kidnapping. The Pasuk says, again, let's start with the Pasuk in Kisete, Ki Yimotze Ish Goin of Nefesh Me'achav, when there's found a man who kidnaps a soul from his brothers. So, Ein Le'ela Ish Shagonav, if you only had that Pasuk, you would think that the punishment applies only when a man kidnaps. In the other Ishagonam, Isha Minai, and how do we know it applies also for woman kidnaps? Talmud Lomar Begonev Ish. Therefore, the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, one who kidnaps a man. Now, there it doesn't say a man who kidnaps, it just says one who kidnaps. So, therefore, that applies to both men and women. So that covers the case where the kidnapper is a man or a woman. Now, Emi El Ish Gona Vein Isha Uvein Ish. So far then, if you put those two psukim together, then you have, if a man kidnaps a man or a woman, a woman or a man, because by the Pasuk Ki Motze Ish, it says Nefesh, which Nefesh means any kind, any living person, any living yid. So therefore, so it would apply to a man or a woman. Or a child, for that matter. The Isha Shagunra Ish. Also, we can cover by that a woman who kidnaps a man, because, again, the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim is the Goynev, but then it says Ish, so it means that the victim was an Ish. Isha Shagunra Isha Minai. And how do we know also if a woman kidnapped another woman that she's Chayav Misa? Because the Pasuk finishes off, that kidnapper shall die, which means Mekol Mokim, it didn't have to say Agana. Well, Mace. That it means who else is going to be killed? The kidnapper, obviously. So therefore, so it means a ganav mikol mokim means no matter who the ganav is. Rashi brings from Sifri. Why does in that case where it says a ganav? Why does that have to say the word hahu? That Rashi says the Sifri on that pasuk says comes to me mamayit if he kidnapped an eved. Now we talked in the Mishnah about a person who's half eved and half free, and we're going to talk about that in the Gemara further on Pei Vav Amud Aleph. But if he's a complete eved, then the kidnapper is potter, and we learn that from Rashi says from the word hahu. Fine. So that covers that then. So whether it's a man or a woman, and whether the kidnapped person is a man or a woman or a child for that matter, then he's still potter. Next, Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa. The pasuk says ki yimotze ish goinav nefesh me'echav, when there is found a man who kidnapped a soul from his brothers. So we learn from that, echad agonav as a ish, ve'echad agonav as a ishach, ve'echad ger, ve'echad evan meshuchra, ve'katan chayim. Whether he kidnapped a man or a woman or a ger or a freed slave, so an eved who's still an eved, we just said, Rashi said from the word hahu, we're saying that not, but a freed slave is basically another kind of ger. So then in all cases, ve'katan, or whether the kidnapped person was a child, in all those cases, then he's chayim. That's what we learn from the word nefesh. Continues the Baraisa. Gonvoy v'loy machroy. If he kidnapped him but didn't sell him, machroy v'adayim yeshne v'rishusay. Or he kidnapped him but he's still in his rishus. So in whose rishus? Rashi explains it means in the victim's own original rishus. So in other words, the idea would be, let's say, for example, he kidnapped him and he has him under his control, but he's still, let's say, in the person's house. So he's still in the person's rishus. He didn't actually take him out of his rishus. So then, so Rashi implies, and the Ramban on the pasuk actually says explicitly that this is what Rashi means and what the Braisa means according to this understanding, or according to Rashi's understanding, that it means even if the kidnapper actually already was paid money for him. So Reuven goes into Shimon's house, arrests Shimon and keeps him under his control, but he hasn't taken Shimon out of his house yet. Then he calls up Levi and says, would you like to buy Shimon from me? And Levi offers and gives him money for him. So even though there was a sale, and even though there was a kidnapping, nevertheless, he's still Birushusai, because Shimon never left his Rishus, and therefore the Braitha would be saying that he's Potter. So that's how Rashi explains it, and then Ramban in fact explains that that said clarifies that that's what Rashi means. On the other hand, that Ramban on the pasuk over there learns that v'nimtza b'yadai means when we're saying over here v'adayin yeshne b'rishusai means that the victim is still in the rishus of the ganav, that he hasn't actually taken him out of his rishus yet. Meaning, in other words, that according to the Ramban, the scenario the Braisa is talking about, Reuven kidnaps Shimon and takes Shimon out of his own house and brings him into Reuven's house, and then he calls up Levi and offers him for sale, and Levi pays him. Nevertheless, though, until Reuven takes him out of his own rishus and brings him out of his own house, then he'll still be potter. So two different ways of explaining what we mean by yeshne v'rishusay. anyway, potter, so either way he's potter, because you don't have all the factors that it says in the pasuk. You don't have, leaving aside that he's amir boy, we have to assume, of course, that we're talking about that he actually had him work for him. But as far as the mocharei and the venims of yodai, we don't really have that because he's not biyodai, he's not rishusai, and therefore the sale, and then the sale didn't go through, therefore. Continues the Braisa. Machre la'aviv. What happens if he sells the victim to the victim's own father? So Reuben kidnaps Shimon, and then sells Shimon to Shimon's father. And the Pashas, I guess we could understand maybe that Shimon's father doesn't realize that this is his own son being offered, or maybe he does. Maybe he wants to do pidyon shvui. Anyway, oyla achiv, or to Shimon's brother, oyla echad min akroivim, or to any of Shimon's other relatives, chayiv, then he would still be chayiv. It's his own father or brother or what have you, it doesn't matter. He's still sold him. On the other hand, if he kidnaps slaves, then he's potter, as Rashi had brought from Sifri, we learn that from the word from the word Hahu. So the Gemara says, Toni Tana Kameh de Rav Sheshes. A Tana taught this Braisa in front of Rav Sheshes. In particular, the part that says that if he sold the victim to his father or his brother or whatever, then he's Chayev. Omalei, said Rav Sheshes, says to him, Ani Shone, I learn differently. I have a Braisa that I learn where it says Rav Shimon Omer, that Rav Shimon says that, no, since the Pasuk says Mei Echov, from his brothers, that implies, Adshi Yitzienu Mirshus Echov, that it means he's Chayev only if he takes him out of the Rishus of his brothers, of his close relatives. How could you a Braisa say that he's Chayev? Tony Potter, you should correct your Braisa and say that if he sold the victim to his father or brother or what have you, he would be Potter. And that way the Braisas don't contradict one another. So they want to ask, my kusha, why? What's Rav Sheshes' problem? Are Braisas not allowed to contradict each other? Duma Harav Shimon Harabanan. Maybe one of them is the opinion of Rav Shimon, and the other one is the opinion of the Rabbanan. So what's the problem? So why does Rav Sheshes have to correct the Braisa? And the answer is Lo Sakadaitach. You can't think that way. Because the Omer Rav Yochanan, Stam Masnissin Rameir. Whenever we know the general rule, when we have a Stam Mishnah, it usually represents the wording and the opinion of Rameir. We have examples of that in a number of places in Shas. But then you have similarly, Stam Tesefta Rav Nechemia. When you have a Tesefta, which are the collections of Braisas that augment the Mishnah, then those, a Stam one of those is following the wording and the opinion of Rav Nechemia. Stam Sifra, when you have a Sifra, which is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, also called Toras Koyanim, which goes through the Psukim and Darshans them, and learns Halachas from them, so that is Rabbi Yehuda, that follows the wording and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifri, Rabbi Shimon, when you have a Sifri, which is the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim, that doesn't say the name of the author, Reb Shimon, then that comes from Reb Shimon. V'kulu, aliba de Rabbi Akiva, all of them in turn, they learned from Rabbi Akiva, and all of them are following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Of course, we have many Stam Mishnayos that disagree with Rameir, and we have many Stam Mishnayos that disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and so forth, but on the whole, every Stam Mishnah is Rameir, and every Stam Tesefta is Rav Nechemia, and so forth. So that being the case then, so the Braisa that the Tana had quoted to Rav Sheshes, that Darshan's a pasuk, ki motzei ish goynev nefesh me'echov, and said that if he sells the victim to his father or brother or whatever, then he's chayev. That comes from Sifri. That comes from the Medrash Halacha on that pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse. Therefore, Rav Sheshes tells him it can't possibly be here I have a Braisa where Rav Shimon clearly says that he's Potter, so your Braisa, which comes from Sifri, which necessarily, therefore, is also according to Rav Shimon, can't contradict that, and therefore you have to correct your Braisa. And that's the halacha. If he sells him to his close relative, then he's in fact Potter. The Mishnah continued, Hagunev is Bnoi. So we said that if a person kidnaps his own son, then Rabbi Shmuel, Bnoi Shel Rabbi Yochanan and Broika had said that he's Chayev, and the Chum said that he's Potter. So what's the reasoning behind the machlokas? Amar Abaya, My time at Rabbanon, why did the Chachamim say that he would be Potter? Rabbi Shmuel is easy enough to understand. It's kidnapping, after all, but why would the Chachamim say he's Potter? The answer is, Omar Abai, Dr. Omar Kroki Motze, because the Pasuk introduces it by saying, when there is found. So that means, Praplam Motzei, as opposed to if he's already found in his possession from beforehand, namely, a father has his son in his Rishus. So therefore, the Torah is implying with those words, ki yimotze, that he would be Potter. So the Gemara says, omelet a popol abaya elamayata. By that logic, if you're going to say ki yimotze, always means when you have, it comes to exclude a case where it's motzui, where it's already commonly found that way, then what about? You have earlier in Parashas Ki Seitzei, so you have a case, ki yimotze ish sheichem ish of olas baal, if there is found a man lying with a married woman, then they're both given nisus beisin, hochi nami ki yimotze prapa motzui. Are you going to say also that ki yimotze means that this din, that this chiyuv mitzvah doesn't apply when it's motzui, when they're commonly together? For example, Rapapa says, "Kigoyin shall base Ploini." For example, consider the family of Ploini. So there was a certain family. He didn't want to mention they were a chosh of a family, so therefore he didn't want to name them. But obviously he and Abaya, who knew who they were talking about, that Rashi explains, you had many people, many families living in the same house. So there wasn't actual technical yichud, but nevertheless, you still had that there was a lot of inappropriate mixing between men and women over there. So that would be ki yimotze. That would be motzui. That would be. It's very common that the men and women are there together in the house. So are you going to say that, and says Rapapa, that if one of the married women over there were to be mezana with one of the men, there wouldn't be a chiyuv misa because it says ki yimotze, and you would say prapa motzui. So obviously not. Ki motzei over there doesn't mean to exclude where it's motzei. So why should it? By kidnapping. The Orach HaNer, by the way, points out that if they were actually doing actual yichud, then a papa wouldn't hold back from saying their name because then they're actually being over on an issur. But here it's not really so much they're being careful, as it actually says v'loishem siyachden. There's no actual yichud going on, but nevertheless they're still not acting in the right way. Anyway, ki yimotze doesn't mean to exclude that kind of thing. So the answer is omalei. Abaya answers him, anom evinimtsa biyodei kamina. I'm not actually doubting from the words ki yimotze. You're right. The words ki yimotze are not necessarily meant to exclude praplamotze, but rather, since the pasuk continues, evinimtsa biyodei, and he is found in his hand, meaning in his possession. So from that we can learn that it means that when the father kidnaps his son, so I'm learning from the words v'nimtza v'yodei that in fact he would be Potter in that case. Rashi points out there are actually two places where it says v'nimtza b'yodei. In both psukim that talk about kidnapping, you have that phrase v'nimtza b'yodei. The going of ish mechod of v'nimtza b'yodei and ki motze ish going of nefesh. The first one does not. You have only the words v'nimtza b'yodei. The words v'nimtza b'yodei are found in the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So Abaye says I'm learning from those. And therefore, we're learning that when he was already nimsa from beforehand, then he's Potter. Rashi points out that as far as the ki yimotze, that we can learn a different din that it mentions in Sifri, that you need edim for the actual kidnapping. Okay. So therefore, you don't even, it doesn't say the nimsa biyodre or any such expression by the Eishes Ish. So you don't have that kind of issue. Tosfos points out there are other places where it says ki yimotze and how do we daushin over there. So Tosfos discusses that point. For example, by the Eglah Aruch, it says ki yimotze chola ba'adoma. Since it says ba'adoma, then therefore it can be treated similarly to v'nimtza b'yodei. Over here, it's an extra word in the pasuk, and therefore we can learn from that that it means that the concept of Eglah Aruch doesn't apply in a place where there are goyim living nearby, because it's likely that one of them killed him. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rava. So Rava says, now, based on what we're saying, then, that we're learning from the words v'nimtza b'yaday, that therefore, as we said in the Mishnah, the Chachamim are saying that a father kidnaps his son, it would be potter, because he's already nimtza b'yaday, he's already found in his possession. Well then, and Rava says, Hilkach, we can derive from this the following din. Hani mikri dardiki, melamdim of children, umasnu rabbanon, and melamdim who teach them when they're older and they're teaching them the Shnayas, Kimitsuyan, the Yavan Damu, then they're considered as though they're found in their possession. Uptiri, therefore, if that teacher of younger children or older children were to kidnap his students, then he would be potu from Misa. We can expect he would lose his job as a teacher, but Rava is saying we can derive from Abaya's din that they would be potu from Misa. And that's in fact the halacha. Then we said in the Mishnah, Gonav Misha Chetzi V'chola, we said that if the person kidnapped somebody who's half Eved and half free, so then we had Rabbi Huda saying he's Chayev, and the Chum say he's Potter. So the Gemara says, let's compare with a statement from a different Mishnah, and then work out why exactly Rabbi Huda holds what he holds. So the Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, The Mishnah describes over there, it's talking about the various tashlumin that a person pays to somebody else for injuring him. You have all the up to the five payments, nezek, tzar, etc. So now you have a case over there where a person injures or embarrasses or whatever an eved kanani that belongs to somebody else. So the Tanakama says over there that he would pay, if necessary, all five payments, including boshes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in la'avonim boshes, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no payment of boshes to the eved. In all cases, that payment itself, but in whichever payments are being done are not being given to the Eved anyway, they're being given to his master. But in any case, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it comes to Reuben causes Boshes to Shimon's Eved, he wouldn't have to pay Shimon for the Boshes. He would have to pay for the other things. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Well, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that? So the answer is, the Pasuk describes when two people are fighting together, a man and his brother, and there you have the pasuk goes on to describe the case where one of the wife of one of them intervenes and causes boshes to the other one, and then the pasuk says the katsoises kapa, which literally means you chop off her hand, but it means that you make her pay money for the boshes. So that pasuk is where we learn the concept of paying boshes. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, mishi yesh lei achva. Therefore, that concept of boshes only applies to somebody who has achva, who has brothership with the Jewish people. Yotze eved shein lei achva. As opposed to an Eved does not have Achva, meaning, in other words, there's no concept of relationships between Avodim. Rashi points out, the Gemara mentions in a number of places that Avodim are Amah Doma L'Chamur. They're like donkeys in the sense. With donkeys, you don't talk about who their blood relatives are. It doesn't much matter. The same way with Avodim, it doesn't apply to that either. So Rashi explains, in other words, in short, that he has no brothership with his own biological brothers. They're not considered his brothers in Halacha. Has various implications when he's freed, etc. In any case, Tosfos asks on that in that case, a ger or an eved meshuchra doesn't have a relationship lahalacha with his biological brothers either. So rather, Tosfos explains that with an eved, his children are not considered his own. Lahalacha, again, just like with a donkey, we don't really care who its children are, the same way with an eved. As opposed to a ger or an eved meshuchra, yes, all their relationships from before have been cut off, but any relationship that they have in future, they have a wife, they have children, those are going to be considered theirs, as opposed to an eved. So therefore, we can be mamayef the eved from the word echav. Rashi himself actually explains in Bava Kamma, in this sugya, and Bava Kamma explains a little differently, that the vote is that ein loy achva means that an eved is not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. In which case, then that easily tells us why the ger or the eved meshuchra are not in that category, because they are allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. So Rabbi Yehuda says that since the pasuk mentions achiv, then we learn it doesn't apply to avodim, which is why he says ein boshes la'avodim, ein la'avodim boshes. So the Gemara says, V'rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer back to that? They answer, Ochiv hu b'mitzvahs. After all, yeah, an Eved is not your Ochiv as far as that he has a relationship with his biological siblings or children or whatever, or that he's allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. But the fact is, he is your brother as far as he's chayev in mitzvahs. So an Eved is chayev in many mitzvahs, in the mitzvahs that Jewish women are chayev in. So now that we understand that machlokas over there, let's see how that relates to over here. V'hocha hechi darish. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here that if a person kidnaps a chetzi eved, a chetzi ben chorin, how is Rabbi Yehuda darshaning it? According to him, achiv excludes avadim. So then, in that case, in our pasuk, when it says ki yimati ish goyim nefesh me echov mibnei Yisrael, it should also exclude avadim. So we understand easily enough then why the chachamim say he's potter, because half of this person is an eved. But why is Rabbi Yehuda saying he's potter based on his own drasha over there? He should say that an eved is not part of achiv. And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Rabbi Yehuda figures as follows. Here's how he darshan in the pasuk. Me'echav la'apoki avodim. It's true that the word me'echav would exclude avodim. But then bnei Yisrael, when it says me'echav mi bnei Yisrael, it means l'mo'uti mishachetzi eved chetzi ben chorin. Then it comes to exclude even if he's half free, where he's already part of bnei Yisrael, but he's still half slave, and therefore he's not fully of bnei Yisrael. So the words Bnei Yisrael would be excluding that, says Rabbi Yehuda. But then it says Mi Bnei Yisrael. But then it says from Bnei Yisrael. Now it didn't need to. It could have said Me'echav Bnei Yisrael. So that would be L'mo'uti Mishachetzi Eved B'chetzi Ben Chorin. That also would be a miut to exclude a Chetzi Eved B'chetzi Ben Chorin. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a miut, I'm a miut. Therefore, what you have is a miut following a miut. Namely, you have two things back to back in the pasuk that say to be memai to exclude something that in miut, I'm a miut, alul rabbis. And we know the general rule that when you have a miut after another miut, then on the contrary, it comes to include. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, based on that, is why we're saying that he is chayef for a Chetzi Eved B'chetzi Ben Chorin. Because the two miyutim in the pasuk me'echov and mibnei Yisrael versus mibnei Yisrael kind of cancel each other out, and the result is that we include that he would be chayev. V'rabbanan, what are the chachamim answer back to that? They darshan differently. Me'echov la'apoki avodim. Yes, the word from his brothers comes to exclude avodim because avodim don't have the concept of brothership, as we said. Rather, the Rabbanan hold that to say that me'echav excludes avodim, they don't hold of that. Because again, so like they just said, an eved is your brother as far as mitzvahs, and therefore me'echav shouldn't exclude him. Therefore, bnei Yisrael, mi bnei Yisrael, so therefore the fact that it says bnei Yisrael at all, and the fact that it has a mem before it, so that would be chad l'mo'uti eved, one of them is in fact to exclude an eved, so they would say, even though echav itself should include an eved, because he is your brother in mitzvahs, and for that reason by boshes, they said you would be chayav boshes for him, but over here, they're learning from the fact that it says Bnei Yisrael, from the fact that it says Bnei Yisrael to exclude them, which is different than what Rashi brought before from the Sifri, that we learn that miut from the word Hahu. Anyway, but here the Gemara is saying you learn it from Bnei Yisrael, Mi Bnei Yisrael, and then you have the Mem. So you have Bnei Yisrael and Mi Bnei Yisrael. Chad l'mo'uti Eved, one excludes an Eved. V'chad l'mo'uti Mishachetzi Eved L'chetzi Ben Chorin. The other one excludes a half Eved and half free. Well, then you don't have two miutim, so then no problem. Chachamim say we are in fact excluding them, and therefore there's no chiyuv misa either for a full eved or for a half eved. Okay. The Gemara says, "As hora l'goyin of nefesh minayin." Where is the warning in the Torah not to kidnap? We have in these two psukim that we've been talking about this whole time. We have the punishment for it, but again, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, in Unshin Elam Kein Mazhir, and if you're going to punish, you have to have a warning first. So where's the warning? Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Miloy Signov. Rabbi Yoshia says, because the pasuk says, Loy Signov, and Aseret Adibris, means not to kidnap. That's what Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Miloy Machrum and Keres Oved. Rabbi Yochanan says, we learn it from the pasuk that says, they should not be sold the way a slave is sold. So that means, in other words, don't kidnap and then sell him like you would sell a slave. And the Gemara says, "V'loy pligi." They're not actually arguing. Both psukim are needed. Mar kachoshev lav d'gneva or mar kachoshev lav d'mechira. Rabbi Yoshia is mentioning the pasuk from which we learn that the actual kidnapping is osur, and Rabbi Yochanan is quoting the pasuk that shows that there's an issur to selling. So now let's work out how we know lois signov means kidnapping. Tana Rabbanan, lois signov, begonim nefoshes, akosim medaber. The pasuk is talking about kidnapping, even though lois signov, we always translate it among the Aseret Adibris, says don't steal, but it doesn't mean stealing money or property or whatever, it means kidnapping. So the Gemara says, after oimer begonim nefoshes, so you're saying that it means that it means to kidnap. Or ena ela begunav mamon. Maybe it actually means stealing money. How do we know that not? So the answer is seilamam mishloishas midas ratoru nedreshes ben. Here's where you can use the 13 midas with which the Torah is darshan. One of which is the next to last is dover halama meinyanai, when you learn something from its context. So b'meha kosev medaber. What is the pasuk talking about in context over there? What are the mitzvahs right before lo signai? Are lo sirtzach and lo sinach, which are isurim that a person would be chayev mitzvah for. Lo sirtzach would be saif. Lo sinach, depending on the situation, as we've learned before, we get skila or seif or chayet. So it's all talking about dini nefashis. Afkan benefashis, the same way lo signo has to be something that would make him chayev misa, and since regular stealing a person is never chayev misa for, then necessarily it has to be talking about kidnapping. Then we have another braisa that talks about, focuses on the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. You have a pasuk lo tignovu, don't, again, where it says don't steal, although there it's phrased in the plural. So here the braisa says begonav mamon akosim medaber, that pasuk is talking about stealing money. Maybe the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim is warning you not to kidnap. So again, Amrit, you say, say the man, Mishloishas Midas, Ratoru Nedreshes Ben, go learn it with the 13 Midas, with which the Torah is darshan, where you can learn something from its context. In context of those psukim, it's talking about mamon, because the things before that, after that, in the pasuk, after lo tignovu, you have don't deny a monetary claim, don't lie, don't wrong a fellow yid by withholding his pay, etc. So therefore, those are all things of mammon. The same way lo tignovu has to mean money rather than kidnapping. So in short, the one in the Aseret Dibros is talking about kidnapping, and the one in Parashas Kedoshim is talking about any other kind of stealing. So now let's consider what we've worked out so far is that when it comes to kidnapping, a person has to do two things in order to be chayev misa. Well, three things really. He has to kidnap the person and take him out of his rishus. He has to sell him to somebody else, and in between there has to be some imur. There has to be some work that he had him do, or some kind of benefit that he got out of him, some kind of work type of benefit that he got out of him. So fine, we're not focusing so much on that, because the pashtus normally when he kidnaps him, he's right away going to have him do something for him. So, but now the point is, though, we have two stages. He has to have kidnapped and he has to have sold. So let's talk about that. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Eidi Gneva v'Eidi Mechira v'Nefesh. Suppose that two pairs of Eidim come to Beis Din to testify about a person. Two of them are saying that Reuven kidnapped Shimon, and two of them are saying that he sold him. Shohuzmu, now if it turns out that all four of those Edim, that all two sets of those Edim are Edim Zomen, what happens? Chizki Amar Ein Neharogin, Rabbi Yechon Amar Neharogin. Chizki says we can't execute them, as the Gemara is going to explain why, and Rabbi Yechon says that you could. Now Rashi goes on to point out that since even if they're Edom Zimmerman, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they wouldn't according to Chizkiah rather, they wouldn't be killed, then he himself, if they're not Muslim, also couldn't be killed because it's Edis Shati Yochel Azima. So therefore, Rashi says, in short, the only way to have that he could be killed, that he could be executed for kidnapping, would only be if the same Edim are testifying about the kidnapping and about the and about the selling. So what's the underlying, where does the machlokes come from? Chizkiah de'omar k'rab Akiva. Chizkiah holds like Rabbi Akiva de'omar, where he says dover v'lechatsi dover. When the pasuk says that the Edim have to testify on dover, al pi shnayim Edim, shlosha Edim, yokum dover, that means dover v'lechatsi dover. It can't be that they're giving Edus and a half of a matter. So here now if they testified only about the kidnapping, then that doesn't make him chayev misa yet. And on the other hand, if they testify only about the selling, then that also doesn't make him chayev misa, because he could always say this person was my eved. So therefore, you need both of them to be mechayiv and misa. Therefore, Chizkiya says each one of them is saying only half an edus, and therefore that would be considered chatzi davar, and therefore it's not a valid edus. Rabbi Yochanan says like the Chachamim, they say that it's possible for Edom even to give an Edos on a half a matter. It doesn't matter, they're giving Edos only on one aspect of it, and we're going to need a second set of Edom in order to actually be Mechayev and Misa. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Yochanan, following the opinion of the Chachamim, that doesn't matter. Now, a couple of interesting things in this. First of all, so again, Rashi is saying that if the Edom were not Muzam, then we wouldn't be able to execute him anyway, because if we say that each one is saying only Chatzi Davar, then according to Chizki, it means not only are the Edom themselves, even if they turn out to be Zomimin, we can't execute them, but then as a result of that, we can't execute him in the first place, because it was the Edus Shi'iyat Yochel Azimel. So now the Maharshal asks on that that what Rashi says is that the reason why we can't kill him is because it's Edus Shi'iyat Yochel Azima. Now the Maharshal asks on that, why doesn't Rashi say that anyway? If according to Chizkiya they're saying only Chatzi Dabar, they're not saying a full Edus, then anyway he's potter from Misa because they're not saying a proper Edus. So why doesn't Rashi mention that point? Why does Rashi have to mention that? It's Edus that you can't be Mazin. As the Maharshal points out, the Gemara is further on going to say that there's a difference, even according to Chizkiya, between the first set of Edim and the second one. So that might be a reason why Rashi doesn't say it that way. Maharshal says that still doesn't really work at this point in the Gemara, where we assume that neither of them are being killed. Then why is Rashi saying that the reason is because Edus Shi'iyat Yochel Azima? Why doesn't Rashi say because Dover the like Chatzi Dover? So Maharshal wonders what the Maharshal's answer is not really so complete. So he says, okay, maybe the Maharshal figures that maybe the Gemara would rather give this reason of Dover v'Chatzi Dover when it comes to the Edim and say that therefore the Edim's Edus is not valid, but that still doesn't really explain Rashi. Then you have the Aruch HaNer and the Binyan Shloima talk about a couple of different angles on what's going on over here. The Binyan Shloima talks about that actually we may have to say, he says that when the Gemara eventually says that they're arguing about Chatzidah, that when the Gemara is saying over here they're arguing about Dover, Chatzidover is not actually part of their machloikas. This is just how the Gemara is trying to explain their machloikas. They themselves might have different reasons to say their respective opinions, Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore according to them it's not necessarily a problem of Chatzidover, and therefore Rashi needs to bring in the point that anyway it's Edus Shi'iyat Yochel Azima. And then the Aruch HaNer discusses it further, and then discusses some lumdus about it. All right. In any case, so fine. So we have this machlokas of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan about what happens when we have these two sets of Edim. So the Gemara says, Umoyde Chizkiya. Now Chizkiya would agree when you do have. Here's another example where you need two sets of Edim in order to be Mechayev a person Misa. Or not necessarily two sets of Edim, but two Edus. We need two testimonies to be Mechayev a person Misa. Another example is when it comes to a Ben Sorum murder. As we learned back in the 7th Perek, when we learned all about the Ben Sorum, 8th Perek rather, when we learned all about the Ben Sorum murder, first we said that the first time that he steals money and eats in that gluttonous way that we talked about, etc., then Edim comes to Beis Din and he's given Malkus, and then if it happens again, then he's Chayiv Misa. So now again, so you have two separate Edus that are needed in order to make him Chayiv Misa. Chizkiya will agree when you have the second set of Edim that come regarding a Ben Sor Remora. So they come and say that the first, that he's already been given Malkus for the stealing and eating meat and drinking wine, etc. So now when they come and say that he did it a second time, and then it turns out that they're Edom Zeman, then Chizkiya would agree, Shenehar Rogin, Shohuzmu. So now if they turn out to be Edom Zeman, Shenehar Rogin, that they can actually be executed. They would have needed the first set of Edom. Their Edus doesn't count for anything without the first set of Edom. The reason is, Mitochshi Chodom Loima HaRishonim, the reason is because the earlier set of Edom can say, Lahal Kosed Banu, as far as we're concerned, we only came to say that he's Chayav Malkus. We never said anything about him being Chayav Nisa. We didn't know that he's going to do this again. So therefore, it comes out, in effect, that the second set of Edom are accomplishing the entire thing by themselves. So in other words, unlike in our case over here with the Gneva and the Mechira, where both of them are interdependent, Gneva without Mechira won't work, and Mechira without Gneva won't work. But when it comes to Ben Sura murder, the difference is that if he does it only the first time and it stops there, then that's it. There's nothing further. He's Chayv Malkus, and that's that. Only if he does it the second time does it turn out retroactively that the first ones were bringing him towards Misa. So the second ones depend on the first, but the first ones don't depend on the second. Unlike again with the kidnapping and the selling. Tosfos compares this to other cases where we have, for example, that where we have something like that. Two Edom say that a man was Makadosh a woman, and two other people say that there was Bia. So, and again, the Bia doesn't mean anything without the Kiddushin, so it's a similar kind of, so each one can be considered a complete Dover, because again, one is not completely dependent on the other. The Kiddushin does not afterwards require Bia. So now the Gemara is saying that Chizkiya would agree in that case, where the first Edom's Edom stands all by itself, and only the second one depends on the first one, then therefore, the second set are going to be Chayav Nisa, because all by themselves they're accomplishing now, as a result of the first ones, that he's actually going to be Chayav Nisa. In addition, by the way, going back a moment to this point about Dover and Chatzi Dover, that the question is why the Baal Amor brings up the question. Why did the Gemara mention that their argument is about Dover v'Chatzi Dover? The question is, why the Gemara should have asked, and why is the Machlokas only where we were mazim them? The question should be, more generally, two people come and say one set of Edom says that he kidnapped, and the other one says that he sold. Now Rashi had said, in fact, the Gemara takes it as a given that he'd be pulled, that the person himself would be pulled from Nisa either way on the grounds of Edus Shiyati Yochal Azima. But the Baal Amor brings up a question, not necessarily is he potter from Nisa, but why not? Why don't we say the machloikas should be between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan, whether he's Chayav Nisa or not? So the Baal Amor brings up the question. He explains, similar to what we were just saying from the Binyan Shlomo, that Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan are not clarifying what the basis of their machloikas is, so all their argument is whether they're able to become Edom Zomim. So they themselves are not necessarily saying it's a matter of Dover v'Chatzi Dover, that they're doing the machloikas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Rather, it turns out, as the Gemara is going to end up saying further down on the Amud over here, that there's a different reason there's a different reasoning behind their machlokas. And the Ran gives a different answer, that it has to do with the point that if Rabbi Yochanan had just said that he could be executed based on the two set of Edom, we wouldn't know which ones can be punished as Edom Zemin. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan agrees that once you have the two of them together, then it's not Chatzi Dover, but each individual one is, and therefore the Gemara went into that whole point to say otherwise. So the Gemara says, Maski for the Papa. So the Papa says that I have a contradiction to that. So you're telling me that even Chizkiya would agree, in the case of Ben Sura Murda, that the second set of Edom, if they're Edom Zomim, can be Chayav Nisa. Ihochi. So if so, Edim Echira Nami Liktalei, and then also by our case over here of the two Edim that he kidnapped and the two Edim that he sold, also the second set should be able to be killed as Edim Zemin. Because after all, the Edim who came to say that he kidnapped are able to say we were only going to be Mechayiv and Malkus, because if he kidnapped without selling, he's not Chayiv Misa, but the Pashtus he would be Chayiv Malkus because it was over on the Issur of Lo Signo. So it's the same way as by the Ben Sora murder, the first set are coming to give him Malkus, and only the second ones are coming to give him Misa. The same way over here, the first one could be conceivably only coming to give Malkus. They could say we didn't know when we saw him kidnapping, and now when we came to base him, then afterwards he's going to sell the victim. Are you going to say that maybe Chizkiah holds, in fact, that he wouldn't get Malkus in a case like that? And the reason behind that would be because, as we've learned before, because the lab over here involves Misas Bastian. If he ends up selling the person, then he's going to be Chayiv Misa, and therefore, so the lab of Lo Signo is something that involves Misa, and therefore you can't give him Malkus. But that's not so simple. For Itmar, Edig Neva Benefesh Shahuzmu, when you have Edim of kidnapping that were shown to be Edim Zemin, here the case is there were no Edim Echidah, there were only Edim of the kidnapping. And now it turns out they're Edim Zemin. So Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan argue. One says they get Malkus and the other one says that not. Now which one said which? Apparently, we should conclude that Chizkiah is the one who says that they would get Malkus. Why? Because since he said when you have both sets of Edim, that neither of one of them can be executed as Edim Zemin. So therefore, he would have to be saying that they're getting Malkus. It can't be that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says they get Malkus. Once he says that if the second set turns out to be Edim Zemin, we will execute them. Well, then this is a lab that can involve Mrs. Bastin. The whole lab Shinitin Lazarus Mrs. Bastin ain't like an olam, and you don't get Malkus for such a thing. So therefore, ihu loy loki, so that being the case, he would not get Malkus. Inhu heichu loku. So how could it possibly be that? How could it possibly be that they should get Malkus? After all, Vasi some like Kasha Zomam. They're not gonna get any stronger punishment than they would have given to him. Rashi also adds the point that you can't say that they're going to be over, that they were over on Loisana Vereacha Eid Shukr, and they should get Malkus for that, for giving false testimony, because the Gemara in Malkus explains that you don't get Malkus for being over on that, because Lav Shein Ben Maisa, there's no Maisa involved, there's just speaking, and in general, speaking is not enough to make a person Chayiv Malkus. Edim Zemim in itself is a special Chiddush, as we'll learn in the Sefer Malkus, that they do get punished for their speaking, but that we're going to learn, the Gemara is going to explain in Malkus that we learn from other Pesukim. Anyway, so that being the case, then necessarily Chizkiah, who must be the one who says that he would be able to get Malkus, where there's only Edim that he kidnapped, but not that he sold, and Rabbi Yochanan would be saying that not, because otherwise how could Rabbi Yochanan say, well, on what grounds would he be getting Malkus if there's potential Mitzvah Basin involved? Well, that being the case then, so Chizkiah obviously holds then evidently that he is Chayiv Malkus, that being the case, so if Chizkiah holds that he could get Malkus, then by the same logic, again, then the two sets of Edim are exactly the same as the two sets of Edim by the Ben Sora Rabbeira, where there the first set gets him Malkus and the second one gets him Misa, the same way the first set would get him Malkus, and if it turns out they're Edim Zemin, they should get Malkus instead, and the second one would be getting him Misa. So it's exactly the same kind of thing. Ela, Amar Papa said, Papa said that. So you can't understand the machlokas of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan the way we were understanding it, that we're talking about either set of Edim being only chassi davar, or whether it's not a problem of chassi davar, and talk about all of that. No, rather the difference is like this. The Edim mechira de kula amalei pligid in Arogin. When it comes to the Edim that he sold the victim, then everybody will agree that the Edim, if they turn out to be Edim Zemin, are executed. But the question would be why? Rabbi Chizkiah would hold that it's a Davar Sholem, because the Edim that say that he kidnapped could say we only came to cause him to get Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan would hold that it's still chatzi davar, and Rabbi Yochanan would hold there's no problem accepting chatzi davar. He pleaded the edig neva. The machlokas is strictly about the edim of the kidnapping. Chizkiya says even if it turns out they're edim zemin, you can't execute him because you can't execute them because gneva l'chodekayma. Because he says the Gneva and the Mechira are two separate things. When Edim come, each one is a separate thing. If they come and say that he sold this person, then they're going to be Mechayev him Misa. But the Edim Gneva are only coming to give him Malkus. So each one stands by itself, and each one involves Malkus. The Gneva by itself would involve Malkus, and the Mechira by itself involves Misa. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Nehara. So Chizkiya would say that when it comes to the Edig Neva, then Chizkiya would say that even if it turns out that they're Edim Zemin, we can give them Malkus maybe, but we can't give them Nisa. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Neharogin, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is going to say they can be executed, he says, Gneva Aschal to the Mechiri. Because he says the kidnapping is the first stage where afterwards you're going to have the selling. Now, in other words, the point is that it's all one avera, the two things together make him chayav misa. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan would say, you don't give him malchus, as we just established before. It's Chizkiya who says he's chayav, that for the kidnapping alone he's chayav malchus. Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with that. Well, therefore, because he says, because there's misas deisin involved. So the point is, Rabbi Yochanan is saying the kidnapping and the selling is all considered part of one big thing. So there's not going to be malchus for the kidnapping alone, because again, there can end up being misas deisin involved. So now the second set are coming to have him executed. Therefore, they themselves, that's going to happen to them if it turns out that they're Edom's enemy. Tosfos points out that why can't they say that we just wanted to say that he's posel la'edus for stealing, and Tosfos discusses that point, why we don't say that. One answer is that Chizkiya holds that just the Gneva alone could be, like Edi Kedushin, could stand by itself, and therefore again, there can be Malkus for that, all by itself. But not Misa. In fact, Tosfos says maybe Chizkiya would not require Asura, and Rabbi Yochanan would require Asura because there's going to be Misa involved. Another possibility, Tosfos says that the Gemara is not even considering the possibility that they're just coming to say that he's possible Edus. We assume that they're coming at the very least to give him Malkus. So that would be the meaning of the Machlokes. So now the Gemara continues. Murder Rabbi Yochanan, the Edim Arishonim shall ben sorer the murder shall huzmu she'en neharogin. Now Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, would agree when it comes to the first set of Edim of ben sorer the murder who are saying that he stole and ate and so forth, and therefore is chayav malchus, that they, if it turns out they're Edim zemin she'en neharogin, Rabbi Yochanan would agree they don't get executed mitoch shein chalalam al koseh banu, because again they could say that they're only coming to give him malchus. And there, there's no question, there's Malkus involved, unlike with kidnapping, where Rabbi Yochanan holds, there can never be Malkus, because it's either Misa or nothing. When it comes to a ben sorer murder, there clearly is Malkus, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan can say that he's chayev for that. That they're not executed, but they are chayev Malkus. So the Gemara says, Omar Abaya, so let's analyze this machlokas further. I call Mordim ben Sarah Morda. So Abaya says, Abaya summarizes as follows. I call Mordim ben Sarah Morda. There's a certain case where ben Sarah Morda where everybody would agree. I call Mordim ben Sarah Morda. There would be a second case involving a ben Sarah Morda where also everybody agrees. Or machlokas ben sorer murder, but there would be machlokas regarding a ben sorer murder in a third case. What does Abaya mean by that? Hakol moedim ben sorer murder means be'edim rishonim she'en neharogin, that if the first set of edim who are saying that he did this the first time turn out to be edim zomim, we don't execute them mitoch shilchon lam al koseh banu, because again they can say that we only came to give him malchus, we didn't know that as a result of our edus that afterwards he's going to do the same thing again and he's going to end up being chayav misa, and it turns out that our edus contributed to that. We couldn't have known that at the time. So everybody's going to agree that they're not chayv misa when they're Edim Zemrin. On the other hand, when it comes to the second set of Edim everybody would agree that they are going to be executed. And the reason, because there's no question, the second Edom are coming to say, since the first ones are able to say only that we came to give him Malkus, therefore it comes out that the second Edom by themselves, all by themselves, are accomplishing a complete thing. Machloikas, Ben Sura Murda, what would be the Machloikas about the Ben Sura Murda would be Shnaim Omer Fanenu Gonav. If two of them say that he stole the money from his father, the Ben Sura Murda, the second time, or Shnaim Omer Fanenu Ochal, and two of them said he ate the meat and drank the wine in our presence. So now that would be, says Abaya, that would be where the Machloikas, where Chizki and Rabbi Yechanan would disagree whether the Edom are Chayav Misa, when it turns out that they're Edom Zemin. And the point is, so neither group can say that we're only coming to give him Malkus, because just for the stealing the money itself is not going to be Malkus. They're saying that the stealing is because he also went and ate the meat and wine in that gluttonous way and made him a Ben Sura Murda. So now the machlokas is going to be when one group says he stole and the other one says that he ate, is each one considered chatzi dover? So now we go back to the understanding of that we said on Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue whether it's enough for the Edom to say chatzi dover or whether they have to say a complete dover. So that will affect over here. Chizki, who holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that it has to be dover, v'lo chatzi dover, he's going to say that therefore here we only have chatzi dover. Each one by itself is not enough to be mechayev in anything, and therefore they're not neherogin, and we don't execute them if they're edim zemin. And Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's not a problem to have chatzi dover, he would say like the chachamim and say they would be chayev misa. Now the Gemara continues on this topic, getting back to the kidnapping. Then Omer of Asi, Edim Mechira Benefesh Shehuzmu. If Edim that say that all this time we've been talking about, where one set of Edim say that he kidnapped and another one say that he stole, or that he sold, what happens if only Edim come and say in Beis Din that he sold? So then, Shohuzmu, even if it turns out that they're Edom Zemin, Ein Neherogin, we don't execute them, Mitarchi, Yocholoma, Abdi Macharti, because the person can always say that the one I sold was my own slave. So now Tosfos asks, so what happens if Edom come and say that he's not slave? That he's not a slave after all? What else are they coming for anyway? They're obviously not just coming to say testimony in Beis Din that he sold a slave. So Tosfos discusses that you could have, let's say that they're coming to, they want to confirm the sale. They want to in fact tell in front of Beis Din that the sale was in fact done and is valid. And then the question is, what about if there's no Hasra? So let's say you could have other people do Hasra and they didn't know about it. But in any case, the point is, he could counter argue that no, you don't know what you're talking about. This person was my Evan. So because of that, is reason enough to pater them from Misa, because not necessarily is their Edus going to result that he would be Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Kaman Ozla, Hoshmaita de Rab Asi. Who is the statement of Rab Asi going according to? Rabbi Akiva, it seems to be like Rabbi Akiva, Dama Dover Valechatzi Dover, where again, he said that the Edom have to say a complete Dover and not a half a Dover. So is that so? Is this only according to Rabbi Akiva? Amalei Abaya, so Abaya answers that. Why? So what's your problem with that? D'i kirabanan neherogin. Are you saying that if we were to hold like the Chachamim, we would say they could be executed? Why? Hamitoch gamar. After all, what Rabbi Asi is saying is because he could have said Avi Macharti. So what's the difference whether it's Chatzi Dover or not? The point is that we have a valid counter argument. You're saying that Reuven sold Shimon. Yeah, but he has a claim that Shimon is his Eved, and unless you can disprove that, then we have nothing to talk about. So Elam, Afilu Tamer Abanan, rather says Abaya, this statement can be even a Ravasi, can be even according to the Chachamim, Ubidaloi also Edig Neva. We're talking about where there hadn't come Edim of the kidnapping in the first place. So there's nothing to show that he kidnapped, therefore he's able to claim that this was my Eden. Tosfos points out that the Gemara had assumed, that the Rabbi Yosef had assumed, we're talking about where there were Edig Neva, and nevertheless, he's still saying that he could still say that there, that it was my Evan, meaning had there not been Edig Neva, then therefore it's not Chatzi Dover. So Abaye is saying that, no, we're talking about that there actually were, there actually weren't Edig Neva yet. So the Gemara says, Yochim Ayla Memra. Well, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, if Edom come and say that he sold, then not necessarily did he sell his, did he sell anybody other than his Evan? The answer is, we're talking about the Chiddush is, even if the Edig Neva came afterwards. So if the Edom Mechira came first and testified that he sold, and at this point we could say, well, maybe it's his own Evan. Later on, there are other Edom come and say that it actually was a kidnapping, but nevertheless, at the time when the original Edom came and said that he sold, they could have been contradicted by a statement that in fact it was his own Evan, and therefore even now afterwards where it turns out that it really was a kidnapped victim that he sold, nevertheless they're not going to be chayav misa for it. So the Gemara says, "Va'akati ma'ila memra." Still, what's the chiddush? Yes, it's true. When they said they're Edus, they didn't know what's going to happen next. They didn't know that other Edim are going to come and say that there was a kidnapping. So yeah, there'd be no reason to say they're chayav misa. And the answer is, why tzricha to come in ramzi ramuzi? The chiddush is, let's say, for example, we can see that the two sets of Edim are hinting to one another. They're making they're making signals or whatever to one another, showing, in other words, that they both know that they're there. So you would think maybe that's significant. Maybe it means that when the Edom came to say that he sold this person, they already knew. They were in cahoots with the other Edom who said that he kidnapped. They came out of order to Beis Din, but therefore now we wouldn't later on accept their claim, well, we thought that we're only saying Edus that he sold him and that there's no Misa involved. You would think so. The answer is that no, that signaling and that hinting is not considered anything, and the fact is, their Edus by itself at the beginning would not have been enough to kill him because there was no Edus of the kidnapping yet, and there would have been a valid counterclaim that it was his own Eved. So even now, when the other Edim come and say that there was a kidnapping, and even where it's obvious that they are in fact signaling to one another and they both are working together, nevertheless, we can't execute those Edim's young men because their Edus all by itself would not have been enough to get him killed.